morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek and it's a chilly Tuesday and we're here to warm you up. Let's kick things off with prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us to the beginning of a new day. We thank you, Father, for your unconditional love. No matter what we do, there's nothing that can ever change how much you love us. And we thank you for that. Father, we ask you to use us today to be lights shining in the darkness. Please let us know how we can serve you this day. And we ask for the grace that we need to be able to deal with any situation that we encounter today. We ask you to watch over and protect those who are homeless. Also, those who are homebound. We ask you to heal those who are sick, help those who are anxious, and assist anyone who is struggling to overcome an addiction. We ask you to speak through us on the program today, and we also ask you to open our minds and our hearts so that we may be receptive to your message. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning into the program today. My name is Gary Zimek. This is Spirit in the Morning, Delaware Valley's only local Catholic morning show. We're proud to be here every day, every Monday through Friday, on Holy Spirit Radio, and we have got a fantastic program for you this hour. We're going to be joined by Father Jim Sitchko. We tried to get him on the phone yesterday. We had some technical issues, but Father Jim assures me that he is going to be available today, and we'll see what happens. We're going to talk to Father Jim about Advent. Also, author Gary Mashuda will be here. He recently wrote a book, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, from Catholic Answers Press. He's going to be sharing some information about that book with us on the program today. By my side, as always, boy, I'm blessed to be here. I'm looking across the table. Frank Elias.
And you laugh.
Frank Elias, and your face is priceless. I look at Dave. He's beaming from ear to ear. You're looking like, what?
I love it. Different styles. Well, what's he going to ask me? But, what's going on?
But Dave Parker, we'll get to you in a minute. Frank, you had a bit of an adventure coming in, so you're entitled to look like that this morning.
Not so much an adventure, more an adventure in my own mind.
Well, aren't they all?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and we probably all have done this. At least I hope everybody has done it, because, you know, then otherwise I feel really foolish. But, you know, yesterday I was leaving and, you know, I needed gas, and I was like, but I need to get home. Yep. So I'm like, I'll just go out later and get gas, and ran home. Anyway, I didn't get out for gas last night. I never went out, and we come in quite early.
Yeah.
And the drive I take, well, let's just say there's really no gas stations. So I get in my truck, and like it said, you know, with that little gauge that says how many miles you have to go. And I look down, and it's at one point, I was right by Newtown, it said 6 miles till you're empty. I'm like, I'm more than 6 miles away from Doylestown. This is a slight issue. Yeah. So I had a slight panic going on with that. But, you know, pulled into a nice gas station. Actually, it was a full-serve gas station, which I'm not a huge fan of full-serve gas stations, but really a really nice guy. We sat there talking for a while, because I have a truck that takes a lot of gallons of gas, so it takes a while to fill up.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sat there talking for a while, and that was actually a really nice thing, is just, just to be sitting, hanging out, and talking to someone like that. But, yeah, it was a little bit of a panic that I didn't have gas.
But I think it's interesting that you managed
and
to
I
stop.
And I was praying.
Isn't it amazing how that happened?
Yeah, you start praying for it at that time.
Prayer is very good.
I find it interesting that you did stop for coffee.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
so you have to also
at least
your priorities.
You have your priorities straight.
I know of one gas station, but I'm not certain it's open. And so I decided, you know, do I try and go to that gas station, which it's not out of the way, but basically if I strike out there, I'm in trouble. And so I was like, well, I'd rather get coffee, because at least then, if I ran out of gas, I'd have my coffee.
I like that.
His comfort.
So I did get my coffee.
Juice.
I actually had multiple stops on the way in, because I have also getting addicted to stopping at Wawa on the way in. So literally, normally, three stops on the way in. I still got here.
No wonder you ran out of gas. Almost ran out of gas. You're doing all these errands.
The Adventures of Frank Elias and Rod.
Dave, that is what Frank said is so common. I do this all the time. On the way home, I need gas. That's always the thing that I should stop for. Oh, I should get gas, but I'll get it in the morning. I mean, and then invariably in the morning, you're running late the next day because you forgot you need gas, right?
Yeah. I got to make that stop now. Where am I going to go? Right. Yeah, exactly. We've all been there.
You ever run out of gas?
Yes, I have. But not recently, but when I was in the military. And I happen to be
a military person running out of gas.
Yeah,
doesn't sound right.
No, I know, but it does happen. You know, we are human. But I was out in the Midwest, you know, up in the Twin Cities area, and it just happened. I thought I had enough. I looked at that gauge the night before, and it was like more fumes than liquid.
Oh man!
Well, needless to say, I was embarrassed because I had to get to work. A military job.
These new gauges are interesting. The ones who tell you—you were talking about this before we went on the air, Frank. The ones who tell you how many miles you have to go.
Yeah.
How accurate are they? Have you ever really pushed them?
Well, I had a 0 one time, and I drove quite a few miles on 0. I don't remember how many. So I've done that multiple times in multiple different cars because I do travel quite a bit, so I rent cars. And I've had it happen with rental cars. I've had it happen with my own vehicle quite often.
So after 0, though, it doesn't say, hey, dummy? Stays on 0.
It does come up.
I always wait for you have that navigation either in your cars or I use it on my phone. I always wait for the navigation to sit there and say, yo, I said to go this way, not that way. Stop it.
Yeah, really.
You know you're in trouble when your GPS tells you, make a U-turn and go, right? It's like, okay, I got it.
Either British or Australian female voice, right? Anyways, but I was going to say, now I'm going to open up a can of worms. Dare I do this? Okay, we're talking about us, you know, guys. You know, how about our wives? Have they ever had situations like that where they ran out of gas?
No.
Or we're close to it.
No,
that we know of.
And since they're not here, this is a great segment, right? I
mean, my wife's perfect.
No, there's texting.
My wife's perfect. She never would let
that happen. Barbara. I just thought I'd ask you guys.
No, my wife hasn't either. So that was a really good idea, Dave. Thank you.
Right. Yes.
Thank you for opening up that can of worms.
Well, the worms have been put back in the can. See, look at the answer. No, our wives are perfect when they're driving.
Very good. We'll leave it there. Let's look at the weather. How's that sound?
If you want.
Okay. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, 37 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today it's going to be sunny with a high near 60 degrees.
Wow.
Tonight, mostly clear, low around 43, so it's not going to be overly cold. And then Wednesday, sunny with a high near 61. At the moment in Phoenixville, it's 29. In Kennett Square, it's 39. And in Southampton, it's 33 degrees. We always have quite a range in our listening area.
We do. It's quite interesting. Mm-hmm. It always seems to be cold at the studio.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even colder than the temperatures that you typically say.
Right.
So, you know, we have to look at those sources because, you know, I walk outside of my car, you know, when I pull up to the station, say hi to the horses, and usually shiver.
Yeah. Well, we are kind of in a valley. And if we look up, we can see at the higher parts around us, you know, and I think the wind, when it's a windy day and the wind is coming out of the west, it blows over that that hill and down into the valley. That I think that's why.
Thanks, Beth.
you're welcome, Norm.
You guys done?
Oh yeah.
Okay. You wouldn't mind if I inserted the gospel in?
It's your show. Okay. Just do what you want.
Sure.
Look, you know, I mean, Jesus can wait, but
no, we can't.
You ready for the gospel?
We are.
Today's gospel comes from Luke chapter 21, verses 5-11. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be a stone left upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will all this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" Jesus answered, See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end. Then Jesus said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. You know, guys, we hear a lot about, I mean, this is an interesting message. We hear a lot about people saying, well, look at what's going on in the world. That's proof that the world is coming to an end, and Jesus will be back soon. And on the other hand, some people say, oh, relax, he's not coming back anytime soon. We've got to strike that balance. And I think the Lord is saying here, I mean, we've heard a lot in these readings as the church year ends, get ready. I am coming. But today he's saying, but don't panic when you see wars and all kinds of crazy things. That doesn't necessarily mean the end is near, but still be ready at any time.
Yeah, the reality is we have to be ready at any time.
That's the key.
It's ultimately, you know, what are you doing in your life that is living up to what Christ would want us to do?
Yeah.
That's what you worry about. You don't worry about these other things. You don't worry about that person saying, the end is coming on December, whatever. Or, you know,
how many times have we heard that in our life?
Exactly. Yeah. It's quite ridiculous. You know, what you have to worry about is, if it were to happen today, how would I be viewed?
Exactly.
When we stand before the Lord.
Yeah.
And yes, it's us and him. Each individual.
It's really, Dave, a simple message, but I think we can overcomplicate it sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. We can.
And I think
that's... And we do.
And that's...
Exactly.
Yeah. But the church helps us through these readings. You're going to hear a lot more of these in the final days of the church year as we begin Advent on Sunday. We're going to hear this reminder that, hey, get ready. I'm coming. Don't worry about when I'm coming. Prepare as if I'm coming today, and then you'll be fine.
One of those readings, I think, was in the last couple Sundays of the Gospel. I mean, the lamps, you know, the ten virgins, five were ready, five were not.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what I thought of right away. We have to be ready.
That's right. And that's the message. That's what we try to do. We try to get you prepared. The great theologian Frank Sinatra. Here's one of my favorite quotes. Live each day as if it's your last, and one day you'll be right.
Okay, absolutely.
Now, I don't know where Blue Eyes was going with that one, but, you know, I mean, it's a great reminder.
Oh, wait,
it's true.
Can I do a quote on that? I mean, put some music behind that?
Maybe a little My Way behind it or something, right? I don't know if we want to go there.
A quote from Frank Sinatra.
All right, we're going to be back with Father Jim Sitchko, who will help us to get ready to prepare for Advent. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 28th. Today we celebrate Saint James of the March. James was born in central Italy in 1394. After earning doctorates in canon and civil law, he became a Franciscan and began an austere life. He fasted 9 months of the year and slept only 3 hours a night. His friend, Bernardine of Siena, persuaded James to moderate his penances. After his ordination in 1420, he began a preaching career that took him all over Italy and through much of Central and Eastern Europe. A popular and effective preacher, his sermons prompted many to reform their lives. Credited with helping to spread devotion to the holy name of Jesus, vocations to the Franciscans also increased under his influence. To combat extremely high interest rates, James established nonprofit credit organizations that lent money at very low rates on pawned objects. He can be said to be the father of the modern pawn shop. In his later years, James declined the offer to become a bishop, preferring to preach instead. A portrait of St. James of the March hangs in the Louvre in Paris. He died in 1476 and was canonized in 1726. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Disturbance and attention I cannot seem to drive. And if I'm honest, there's quite a bit of fear to sit here in this silence and really hear you. What will you ask of me? Will I listen to your voice when you speak? Torn inside, and in the middle, we are left to wonder who we are, what you want, and where we're going. Oh, such a mystery. I don't always understand.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Plum with God Help Me. I'm Gary Zimak, and I have the wrong microphone turned on. Dave Parker, you got to keep an eye on me here. I'm going to learn this one of these days. The time is 7:18 right now. That was Plum with God Help Me.
It was Frank's turn to watch you.
You can tell I'm not quite awake yet, but fortunately for us, our guest is awake. Father Jim Sitchko is kind enough to join us today. He is currently in Las Vegas leading a parish mission. Father Jim is here. I asked him if he would come on and talk a little bit about how we can get ready for Advent. Hey, Father Jim, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you.
Father, I really appreciate... I'm sorry?
No, I'm out here doing a parish mission, and leading people into the season of Advent, which is just around the corner.
Yeah, and that's why I was glad that you were able to come on the show with us, Father, and get us ready. You know, I mean, many people are already beginning to freak out and panic, but not necessarily to prepare to welcome Jesus, but to get ready for Christmas. Got to buy the presents, got to put up the decorations, got to get the baking started. How do we maintain the balance, Father?
Well, I think one of the things is we've got to call ourselves back to the season, back to the reason for the season. And I think one of the things is something that evades us is spending time in silence, spending time in prayer, spending time once again in reminding us, like you said, what is the reason for this season. And, you know, Christmas begins on Christmas Eve, you know, that's when the Christmas season begins for us. And so there's something before that, and that's that time of Advent, the time of cleansing ourselves, the times of preparation, the times of really getting ourselves aware of why and what is going to be happening. And I think some very important things, especially in a season that is so busy, and we make it busy ourselves,
right,
is to remind ourselves of silence, is to remind ourselves of the whole aspect of anticipation and participation and the aspect of joy and of peace. And all of that comes from us having to sit and wait. You know, I know that oftentimes when I preached an Advent sermon, Mass would be like at 5 o'clock or 10 in the morning.
Right.
And I would process down at about 10:10. And people would be wondering, where was I or what was going on?
Yeah.
One of the homily would be very simple that day, and it would be this: Advent is a time of waiting. I came in 10 minutes late today. What kind of waiter, what kind of person are you? Are you able to wait? Are you able to prepare? Or were you in a panic? You know, and the thing is, we don't like to sit sometimes still. We don't like to be quiet. We like to be moving. Sometimes we think that something is not going on. There's trouble.
Yeah.
You know, sitting in God's presence is so important, and especially during this most busiest time of the year.
Now, Father, a lot of the things we do during this season, this preparation, they're good things. I mean, going out and buying gifts, right? They're good things. But is this a reminder? I mean, are you trying to say that we need to just, it's not that we do one or the other. To me, this is the Martha and the Mary story, really. Finding that balance between the active and the contemplative. Am I on the right track?
You're exactly right. And I think the thing is, it's seems to be countercultural in one aspect.
Yeah.
You know, I still come from the tradition where Christmas begins on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And after the meal, we decorate the tree, we say prayers, we sing Christmas carols, and then we pray for certain intention, and then Christmas begins. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. Yes.
Up until then, it's Advent.
Right.
Up until then, it's times of waiting, times of preparing, and our world is saying, no. Christmas begins before Halloween.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And each year seems to get earlier and earlier. I remember when I was a kid, it never began before Thanksgiving, and now, you're right.
That's correct.
It begins much earlier.
Right. But see, the world says one thing, the gospel says another.
Right.
And it is, as Christians, as Catholics, it is for us to lead the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and always to remind ourselves, is to keep Christ at the center of all that is happening. And it's never easy,
right,
because it's not supposed to be.
Right, right, right.
Okay, if it was easy, it wouldn't be worth it. Okay, if it was easy, I don't know if there'd be a lesson in it.
Father, I think one of the clear messages that we get from the church during this time of year, as we prepare to close out one liturgical year and move into the next, is be ready. You know, and I think to me that's what motivates me. We never know. We don't know when we're going to meet the Lord and be judged, right? So,
what a powerful message that is for the people of Las Vegas.
Wow.
Where I am. You know, I've shared with the people. They have, most people understand that message.
Hmm.
You know, we sometimes think that we're here for eternity.
Right.
They also have to realize, as I share, and I don't mean to be negative, but we also have to realize that not all of us are going to make eternal life with God.
Wow.
Some of us are going to be in the smoking section.
Whoa.
And that is from our own choice, you know? And that's why I'm saying that we have to stop for a minute. We have to wake up. We have to be ready. We have to silence ourselves so that when the bridegroom comes, when the moment happens, guess what? We're not caught off guard. We're ready.
Right, and that's the secret, and that's why this season is such a blessing for us, because it's that opportunity for us to get ready. But
that's
right. But Father, as you say, it takes a conscious decision on our part, and I think that it doesn't mean we don't do the good things to prepare. I mean, we still can go buy the gifts and make the cookies or whatever, but we need to know why we're doing things, and we need to spend some time with the Lord.
And the key word is balance.
Balance, yeah.
Balance. Keeping everything in perspective, okay? Balance.
Great
and
advice.
That's with everything within our Catholic faith.
Right.
There has to be balance. There has to be balance.
Awesome. Well, Father, I really appreciate you joining us today.
I love it.
You know, I mean, that's really nice of you. And if people want to follow you online, the best place is?
www.frjims.com. FatherJim.com, always on social media or Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, always there under my name. It's a pleasure always being with you in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ and recognizing the importance of keeping ourselves level-headed.
Mm.
Don't forget, people, breathe, blink, exhale. The season is a good time in sitting with silence and being prepared.
There you go. Father, before you leave, can you leave us with a blessing?
Definitely. May Almighty God bless you all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Father, thank you so much
God
for coming
you.
On. All right. Thanks again, my friend. God bless you. Father Jim Sitchko joining us direct from Las Vegas today. Boy, Dave.
I love Father Jim. Hey, thanks, Father Jim.
That was really nice of him to wake up.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he told us, he said, call and wake me up. That's not a big deal.
Exactly.
It's, what, 3:18
yeah,
out
exactly,
there?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
But that's a great message, though.
Preaching, he's preaching. You know, 24/7, 365. That's
what
we're all called to do.
Absolutely. And I recommend you do check out Father Jim online, FatherJimS, FrJimS.com. He's got some great stuff there. He's very active on Twitter, always has some good things to say. When we come back, Gary Mashuda, why Catholic Bibles are bigger. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Pope Francis has begun his first full day in Myanmar, traveling to the country's capital to meet with the civilian leader, Nobel laureate Aung San Suu Kyi, a day after hosting the military general in charge of the crackdown on the country's Rohingya Muslim minority. The Holy Father's speech today to Suu Kyi, other Myanmar authorities, and the diplomatic corps in Nay Pyi Taw, the capital, is the most anticipated of his visit, given the outcry over that crackdown. Myanmar's Catholic leaders have stressed, though, that Suu Kyi has no voice to speak out against the military and have urged support for her efforts to move Myanmar toward a more democratic future that includes all its religious minorities, Christians included. Earlier, the Pope met with a Myanmar Buddhist leader who's been criticized for using ethnic slurs against Muslims. The Vatican said Francis met briefly with the monk separately from an interfaith meeting with other religious leaders at the Archbishop's residence in Yangon. And in Washington, Senate Republicans are indicating they still have a way to go to secure the votes for their tax overhaul. A second GOP Senator, Steve Daines of Montana, announced yesterday that he opposes the tax bill in its current form. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin has already said he opposes the bill. Both senators complain that they believe the tax bill favors large corporations over small businesses. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
A quote from St. Teresa of Avila. Although in entering religion and taking care not to offend God, we may appear to have done everything. Ah, how often certain worms remain, which do not allow themselves to be perceived until they have gnawed away our virtues. Such worms are self-love, self-esteem, harsh judgments of others, though in trifles, and a great one of charity towards our neighbor. But if indeed, by dragging on, we satisfy our obligations, we do not do it with that perfection which God would expect of us.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. A tiny hole in a 400-foot dam was the undoing of a 30-million-gallon reservoir in New Jersey many years ago. Although the small leak seemed insignificant, it soon eroded into a gaping hole and threatened the collapse of the dam. Many of the great problems of our age have their origins in defects which, like the little hole in the dam, are discounted as being of minor importance. But small acts of dishonesty, corruption, and injustice can be the beginnings of a deadly breakdown. So while avoiding extremes, be on the alert for the flaws or faults which can spread with speed once they gain the upper hand. What you as one person do counts more than you think to promote God's love and truth. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Need a lift? Gary's got you. The uplifting way to get through the day. Gary Zimak on Spirit in the Morning.
I used to live like I was under attack, dodging arrows from my past. I had no hope for tomorrow. Felt so much pressure, yes, I thought I would crack. But now there's no looking back. I'm moving forward, cause I know I got my armor now. No fear, no doubt, can't shoot me down, yeah. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt. Gonna shoot me down, 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 down. Control. My soul is untouchable because you've already won me. My victory is not in this flesh and bone. It's in the cross, and I know nobody's taking it from me. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt, can't shoot me down, yeah. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt, gonna shoot me down, 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 down. Because of you, and now I'm bulletproof.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Bulletproof by Citizen Way. That'll get you moving on this Tuesday, on this chilly Tuesday morning. The time right now is 7:36. Have you ever wondered what's the difference between a Catholic Bible and a Protestant Bible? And if you've dug into a little bit, you may have noticed that Catholic Bibles are bigger. Why is that? Well, my next guest has written a book, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger. Gary Mashuda is joining us on the line right now, and he has written this book for Catholic Answers Press, and he's here to share some insight. Gary, good morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Thanks for waking up and joining us on the program today. This is a great topic, Gary, why Catholic Bibles are bigger. And for the benefit of those who might not be familiar with this concept, could you give us this brief overview of why Catholic Bibles are bigger?
Oh, okay. Well,
in 10 minutes, here you go.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not because we have more Bible helps or maps in the back of our Bible. Basically, it's because Catholic Bibles and Orthodox Bibles have 7 books in the Old Testament that Protestant Bibles don't have.
Right.
And these books are called by Catholics the Deuterocanon,
mm-hmm.
and they consist of the books of Sirach and Wisdom, Tobit, Judith, Baruch, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, and there's also a couple of chapters in books of Daniel and Esther.
Right.
And these books were removed by Protestants from the Old Testament. Actually, it was originally demoted to what they call Apocrypha, that is, mere human writings. Not inspired scripture, and then eventually they were removed from Protestant Bibles altogether. So I guess the short answer to my long explanation is that we have 7 Old Testament books that Jewish and Protestant Bibles don't have.
You know what's funny? For years, I didn't realize that. I'm a cradle Catholic, and I didn't know that there was a difference between a Catholic Bible and a Protestant Bible. And then eventually I knew that there was a difference, and I had no idea that was the difference, that it was strictly in the Old Testament that these books were different, that we have additional books. Now, Gary, sometimes you will hear, and in your book, you really do an excellent job explaining this, and I highly recommend the book, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger. But sometimes we as Catholics will hear, well, you Catholics, you added to the Bible.
Yeah, and you know, that's really the ultimate question,
right?
In Catholic Protestant apologetics. And the reason I sat down to do the book is because I realized there's an answer to this question. It's not a matter of opinion.
Yeah.
Because usually Protestants claim that the Council of Trent, which met to reaffirm the faith after the Protestant Reformation took off, that they added the book. Now, the one thing beautiful about our church is that it's a bureaucracy. There's lots of records about everything.
Right, right.
So you can look at the Council of Trent to see, well, you know, were there deliberations? Did people say, hey, let's add these books? And so I do that in the book, and I also look at the overall history so you can see from the word go, these books were accepted as sacred scripture and had used to confirm doctrine throughout the centuries.
Huh.
And then, of course, with the Council of Trent, it's very clear the Council of Fathers understood that these books were considered canonical way back at the end of the 4th century.
Wow.
With the Councils of Carthage and Hippo. So Trent just basically rubber stamped what had already been affirmed by the Church centuries earlier. So there's no doubt that that these books were always part of the historic Christian Bible.
Gary, it wasn't as simple as Martin Luther on the day of the Protestant Reformation began. It wasn't as simple as he said, okay, these 7 books are gone. It was more of a process, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Actually, one of the greatest biblical scholars in antiquity, St. Jerome, was commissioned to make a fresh translation of the Bible.
Right.
And St. Jerome was really the first Christian to call into doubt these books. And the reason was is because he only had one Hebrew text in front of him, and there were myriads of Greek translations of the Hebrew. And he figured, well, since there's only one text that comes down, it must be identical to the original. So he figured, okay, whatever's not in this Hebrew text isn't scripture. Whatever is in there, that's scripture. And, of course, the Deuterocanon wasn't part of a particular Hebrew text. And so when he was translating this Latin Vulgate, the Latin translation of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
he would write prefaces saying, these books aren't inspired, these books are apocryphal, and he'd send them out. And Christians started becoming concerned. And that's why the North African Council of Men affirmed these books. Now, here's the really cool thing, Gary, about St. Jerome. The church couldn't demonstrate that Jerome was wrong. It knew it was wrong because of Catholic tradition. These books had always been accepted as scripture. So they knew it was wrong. But it couldn't prove it. And it wasn't until the 1940s when we discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls that we were finally able to prove that Jerome was wrong by rejecting these books.
Wow.
Because we found out that there wasn't just one Hebrew manuscript that everyone used, but there were several. And in fact, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, known as the Septuagint, that Christians used, the Dead Sea Scrolls revealed that actually this is probably a very ancient literal translation of a lost Hebrew text that just no longer exists. So it's actually very accurate. So, it wasn't until the 1940s when we could finally say Jerome was wrong. And going back to Martin Luther, when Martin Luther found things in the Cathedral of Canada that contradicted his doctrine, like purgatory, indulgences, prayers to saints, things like that, he appealed to St. Jerome. He said, well, St. Jerome says these aren't canonical, so I don't accept them as canonical.
Hmm.
But it turns out that, you know, if Jerome falls, then Martin Luther's falls. And then what eventually follows is Protestants are missing seven books of the Old Testament.
What I found very interesting in your book is you cite at least 10 references in the New Testament where apparently the original King James Bible referred to some of, it cross-references to these deuterocanonical books, these seven missing books.
Yes. And not only the King James, but many of the earliest Protestant translations, like the Geneva Bible, some early like Bishop's Bible, some of the earliest English translations also had cross-references to these books. So that shows that, you know, early Protestantism understood that the New Testament was indeed using these books in their text, and that it's beneficial for people who are reading Scripture to know these books. And the funny thing is, once these books were removed, then the cross-references vanished. And now, today, many Protestants aren't even aware that Protestant Bibles have these books.
Fascinating. And, you know, Gary, if you want to really take advantage of God's revelation through Scripture, it only makes sense that you won his full revelation, right? So this is a
great... Oh, absolutely.
So we certainly don't want to exclude these books. We only have about a minute and a half left, but just a quick answer. Somebody might say, well, what is the big deal? Seven books, why don't we just concentrate on the books that we have in common? What's the big deal? What is somebody missing out on if they ignore these books?
Okay, another minute, Okay, I can do it. Number one.
No pressure.
It's the Word of God. So missing part of the Word of God is number two. If the Bible is your final court of appeal and you're missing judges, the court's not going to rule correctly. You have to have all the judges set in judgment. Number three, you're interpreting the New Testament in light of a Judaism that didn't exist for 300 years if you don't have the deuterocanonical books. And number four, the original Protestant reformers, all of them understood that these books affirm certain doctrines that they deny. And I gave a list, but purgatory and so on. So that would be the short answer to a really great question.
Yeah. The bottom line is you don't want to ignore these books. The book is Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger by Gary Masciuto from Catholic Answers Press. Gary, where's the best place our listeners can either follow you online and or pick up a copy of the book?
Well, you can get the book at Catholic.com, the Catholic Answers website, and you can follow me on hands-on-apologetics.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on the program. I really enjoyed our discussion.
Well, thank you, too. It was good.
All right. God bless you, my friend. That's Gary Masciuto. Dave Parker, fascinating stuff.
Very fascinating.
We didn't have a lot of time,
exactly.
But this is an incredibly important concept, why Catholic Bibles are bigger.
Absolutely. And, again, I was a Protestant in one time. And
did you were you even aware of these
Not back
books?
Then.
Okay.
Even at my conversion, you know, I was just kind of at the basics of learning Catholicism, you know. And that was pre-RCIA.
Wow, okay.
I think came in a couple of years later. So I sat with a good priest, my spiritual mentor, Father Z, and we had many discussions. And that came in, I learned later. I'm going to read the book.
Anyway, it's a good book. Check it out. I'll have a link at spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back, the Be Not Afraid Bible Verse. Stay tuned.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
You're listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Welcome back to Spirit of the Morning. That was Live For You by Rachel Lampa. I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks for tuning in to the program today. All right, now it's time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. It comes from Matthew chapter 10, verse 31. Fear not, therefore you are of more value than many sparrows. I think we need to remember today just how important we are to God. Mm-hmm. He cares so much about us. And, it's, guys, it's so easy to forget that. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's, you know, not our value to God, but also our value to each other, which is brings out our value to God.
Right.
You know, and sometimes thinking about from
well
that
said.
Perspective.
Yeah. But awesome. Frank, you're a parent. Dave, you're a parent. Mm-hmm. We know how much we love our kids. Mm-hmm. And we always will do what's best for them mm-hmm. because we love them.
Yes.
That's how God our Father feels about us. So if we're in a situation where we are beginning to become anxious and we're troubled about something, just remember that today, mm-hmm. how much He cares about you yeah. and that how much He loves you. And nothing you can do can make Him love you any more or any less.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to love you no matter what, unconditionally.
Yes, yeah. It's constant.
It's a really cool thing.
It's unconditional. His love for us.
And speaking of helping one another and loving other people, we heard that message on Sunday. It was crystal clear in the gospel. Today, Frank, is Giving Tuesday. I don't know the origin of this. Do you know where this came from?
So it started off as a social media thing about 6 years ago.
Right.
Before a lot of people got on social media. And a lot of it came down to people were just tired of the commercialization okay. of the holiday season. If you think about it, we had Black Friday for years. Then we started like opening on Thanksgiving Day and doing retail
yeah.
sales then.
Yeah.
And then we had Small Business Saturday. And then we had Cyber Monday. And people basically are like, you know, we need to give back. We need to do it's not yeah. about this. So it's on social media. It started off, you know, slowly, just people encouraging each other to give, take Tuesday to give to charities. Well, that kind of went viral. And over the next few years, you can watch huge increases on this day, on the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. Donations globally. So this is not just something that happens in the U.S. It actually happens globally. So today is known as Giving Tuesday because of that. There's not a specific person who started it or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not another Hallmark holiday, you know, but it started more from people. Just that's what really happened. Last year, you know, I think it was about $116 million additional was actually given out, you know, to charities. And so, you know, that's something to know about. So what we're doing today is you'll hear spots throughout the day where, you know, it's not about giving, you know, Holy Spirit Radio is a nonprofit. You know, I'm not going to sit and say we don't struggle to, you know, make ends meet, but we wanted to actually highlight other charities, good charities, because sometimes people want to give and they don't know who to give to.
Exactly.
And so, you know, each one, you know, provides a different perspective or a different type of thing. You know, most religious, there's one spot where I talk about my own personal life and basically say, you know, you may have someone who's close to you that there may be things that they that may inspire you as to what to donate to because of things. But then the other ones, there's a lot of religious ones. There's a lot of ones within our community. You know, Bill Miller recently passed away, so obviously Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition is one.
I thought of Aid for Friends.
Aid for Friends is one. Legacy
of
Life is another one that we did. We did the St. Joseph House out in Coatesville. So there's all these different charities. So and then the Poor Clares and the Little Sisters of the Poor, actually, you know, are another one. We have all these different spots that are going to run throughout the day to give people to inspire people as to different things that they can give to.
I see it. I see Giving Tuesday as a nice counterbalance to the secular world version of, you know, buy. What can I get? I have to get it now.
Right.
Not just for me, but for my friends. And that, I mean, again, it's that thought is based in giving, but it gets so frenzied. True giving. Let's give to those who are less fortunate, the poor, the hungry, the homeless. You know, that's what it's, you know, not just our families, whom we do love. And it is a good thing to give. But I love this Tuesday as a counterbalance.
I think it's
that.
A great idea. And there, we often complain about the commercialism and materialism of the world, but here's a great example of something good that's going viral.
Exactly. There are good things out there. There's good. Everybody has some good things in them, and they want to do good, and they don't want to get caught up in all this stuff. Yes, sometimes it might be fun to shop, or it might be fun to do these things, but you know they also want to do good, and you know this is the perfect example of it and how these things actually came about.
As Father Jim said, I mean, it's a balance, and Gary, you mentioned at the outset of the show,
it is a balance.
It's we have to strike a balance.
But the other piece to it is there's people out there. I also want to give an alternate twist to all this, which is, you know, sometimes something, hearing things like Giving Tuesday, and if I don't have the financial means to be able to give, it may also be upsetting. So what I would also tell you is it's not about the financial giving.
It's not just treasure. It's talent.
It could be donating your time. It could be donating goods that you have. You know, it could be donating prayers. Mm-hmm. You know, every one of these institutions needs your prayers. Mm-hmm. So there's a variety of ways that you can give. It does not need to be financial.
Good point.
And so, you know, we do try and make that point. But the other piece to it is at the end of every one of these spots, we also talk about, you know, doing things at your church, mm-hmm. you know, volunteering at your local parish, you know, Catholic Social Services yeah. as another means, or the Catholic Charities Appeal. There's any number of things that you could mm-hmm. do.
Right.
So you can easily find things within our faith, because mm-hmm. our faith is all about community.
Amen, brother.
There you go. Preach it, Frank. Preach it, my man.
Yeah. Well said.
No, well, absolutely. So I'm glad we talked about that. And take advantage of this day and use this day as your motivation to do something, to mm-hmm. go give in yeah. some way.
Exactly.
Or make prayers or,
and it doesn't have to be something that's religious. If you have a charity that's close to you yeah. or you know something about, you know, there's a lot you could do for homeless is a mm-hmm. great example
yeah.
of that.
I was going to say, I mean, so we designate certain days, but don't let it just happen today. Let it carry on. It's every day. Let it trend into your life.
The nice thing about having a day, Dave, is that it motivates us to do it today.
Exactly.
Because otherwise we could put it off to the future. Do this at some point.
Yeah.
Well, today. Do it today.
Do it tomorrow, right? Do not
mm-hmm.
procrastinate.
That's right. All right.
But it sets a good tone.
It certainly does. We want to thank you for listening to the program today. Tomorrow on the program, author Catherine O'Dell is going to be mm-hmm. here to talk about Blessed Solanus Casey,
ooh.
Who was recently beatified. She wrote a mm-hmm. book on Father Solanus. Mm-hmm. She's got some great information for us. Also, Kate Wicker will be here mm-hmm. to discuss her book, Getting Past Perfect. So we hope you can join us on the program. Remember to check us out online at spiritinthemorning.com and listen to Holy Spirit Radio throughout the day. You can listen online at holyspiritradio.org. Well, boys, we made it through the program.
Have a blessed day, everyone.
There's our music. Thank you for listening. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Make sure you turn around and say hi. God bless.
Amen.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating